Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Let's just start in prayer. Father, I thank you for this time this morning. I thank you for the honour of being able to share your word with your body. You love us so dearly. And I believe in my heart hearts that we are here for such a time as this. And however we end up at this place, Lord, that you foresee and you know that we are here for this word and right now. I pray, Father, that as I acknowledge that I don't put myself here. I don't put myself on a pedestal. It's not even Tom who puts me here. But Lord, it's you. You directed to this point and this word comes from you. Just use me this morning as a conduit to the words that need your people need to hear this morning, and I include myself. Father, for your great love, I give you all the honour and the praise this morning. Amen. But Tom's right, I have had a week in Barcelona again this week. And it's so strange, isn't it, how people interpret, you know, being away, being in Barcelona, all you, look at you, this, that and the other. And there's a real truth behind that. And there's a real truth behind life and how we can look at people, whether or not it's through Facebook and people that seem to have the lives that are the perfect life and someone to look up to or whatever it might be. And then you get the truth behind what's there. And you often see a lot of frailties, a lot of other things that you perhaps didn't see. And you know, it's not the statement of grass is greener, it isn't, but it is, it's a point, you know. I mean, I spend many hours in you know, the evenings in beautiful restaurants in Barcelona, sitting, you know, eating foods that you know, restaurants you wouldn't even consider going to because you couldn't afford. But the truth and the reality is, I would give that time, and I sit there sometimes just thinking about my boys and my wife and, you know, how much I long to be in Strentham sitting having a McDonald's up there with them rather than sitting here with these people that I'm trying to entertain. And it's true. It's so true. And then, of course, the people that I'm with, you know, they've all got stories. There's people of you would define as successful. Yet, when you scratch the surface, you realise that, you know, they haven't seen their family grow up. They've passively missed things and stuff. And it's not for condemnation for people to take that as a bad thing. But for me, this is life. And when things happen in life and things that we've seen just of late where we lose loved ones, it just brings it reality home again that, Lord, I can't do this life. I can't fulfil the desires of my own heart, trying to fulfil things that perceived as successful. Because, Lord, that isn't your plan. I want to be on plan. I want to be on plan more than ever. I want the Lord to lead me. I want the Lord to guide me. I want the Lord to direct me. I don't want to allow the things of this world to take and blur my view. So I humbly come before you this morning, Father, and I ask that you just direct me and you direct your body, your people, as we humbly offer ourselves. And however those things in life may seem to draw us, that we can say, Father, your will be done. And I ask each one, if you're feeling that this morning, just say, Father, your will be done in my life. Your will be done in my life. Not my will, but your will be done in my life this morning. Do you know, it really does take faith to believe we're truly loved. And people will say, oh, I know God loves me. I know that. Let's move on. Part two. But actually, you could stay there. And I plan to stay there to uncover that love. The love of the Father. The love the Father has for me. And it takes faith. It takes faith to believe that you are loved in times when challenges come, when things come and they hit your family, they hit your life, it's hard to believe you are loved. And it's a choice. It starts a choice. It starts at a choice of reading the Word of God and saying, Father, the evidence is clear. The Word of God says, even if I said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He loves you this morning. And you know, you will never be more loved than you are right now. You will never be loved more than you are right now. There's nothing you can do to add to the love and make him love you more. There is nothing. Romans 5:3 says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly Father God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. He has given us the Holy Spirit as a witness to this love. This love is in here. It's not always understood up here. And this is the challenge. This is the offset. This is why sometimes we feel loved and sometimes we feel distant. You hear Christians say that. I feel distant from God. And it's not an untrue statement, but it's an untrue fact. Because actually, Father God says, I will never, ever leave you. No, no, ever. No, not ever. It's a double meaning negative in the Greek there, that he will never, ever leave you or forsake you. That's our solid foundation. I want to go to Matthew. I think this is where I'm going to jump to Matthew 14. Matthew 14, 24. And it's the story about the disciples when they're in the boat and chaos is going on. They see Jesus. And it says in verse 24, meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from the land, for a strong wind had risen. And they were fighting heavy waves. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning, and Jesus came towards them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified in fear, and they cried out, it's a ghost. But Jesus spoke to them at once and says, do not be afraid. Take courage. I am here. The first bit I want to pick up on this story before I move on to the Peter walk is the boat they're in. And when I was just singing this morning, it came a little bit more clear about this boat. We've all got our troubles, and the disciples are in their trouble at the moment, which is defined as being in this boat. And we've all got our troubles. We've all got our challenges. We've all got our loved ones. We've got people that need have needs right now. And it's in that time of need where we can still see our Saviour. He appears at the right time. And the first thing that he does is dispels fear. Because we know that perfect love casts out all fear. Jesus says, do not be afraid. I am here. Do not be afraid, church. I'm here. That is a message for the right people this morning. He is saying that right now. Do not be afraid. Take courage. I am here. And Peter called to him, Lord, if it really you, tell me to come and walk on the water. I mean, I would have said something more like, tell me what I had for breakfast this morning, you know, rather just give me some clarification that it's you. I don't need to be making the step out onto the water. Yeah, you had two fish and two pieces of bread. It is him, you know, tick. But no, he said, it's really you. Tell me to come on the water. And Jesus empowered him. Said, yes, come. So then Peter went on the other side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. Now, if I was Peter, I'd be quite happy if that was the full stop and then move on to the next chapter of the story, because we'd all be going, well, you know. But we forget the wow here, because we then see that Peter saw the strong winds. He saw the waves. He felt the wind. And as a result, he was terrified. And he began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? Again, that puts the context around Jesus' statement, doesn't it? He's not belittling Peter there by saying, you little faith. But Jesus can just see, you're walking on the water. The wind and the waves are always there. But when your eyes were focused on me, you didn't see them. When your eyes were focused on me, the actual physical challenges of walking on the water were not apparent. They were still there. Gravity was still a factor. You know, science was still true. But actually, by looking at Jesus, a peace that passes all understanding is available. Something that allows you to be able to make that decision. Something that allows you to be able to let go of something and hand it over. Something that says, despite what's around me, you are my focus. Despite what's going on, however much it's drawing my attention, however much it wants me to try and calculate, work it out, try and consider tomorrow. No, I'm just going to look to Jesus. And I'm going to do the unthinkable and do something that's not possible. Actually, no, it's not you. It's just making a decision to look to him. And then he leads you. We try and calculate. If he got his first foot over the boat, and started to think, right, how am I going to do this? I'm pretty sure that he would have gone straight down and there wouldn't have even been a story. But he had to trust. And to be able to trust, he had to look. And to look, he had to know the love that Jesus had for him. Jesus was not going to let him drown. And yet, halfway, however long it was, we don't really know how many steps he took. But at some point, something grabbed his attention. The wind, something around him took his focus away. And he suddenly realized that what he was doing wasn't possible. So I'll turn to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that Father God has set before us. Pause. Very often there is not a verse two in that statement. And we're encouraged, we're challenged to run this race. And that's good. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. There is a race to be run. There is sin to be led off. There's witnesses around us. But verse 2 answers what to do and how to do it. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. We live this life by keeping our eyes on Jesus. There isn't a step two. Oh, but what about this? Oh, but what about the other? Let me tell you, if we keep making that choice to keep our eyes on Jesus, what does that mean? What does keeping our eyes on Jesus actually mean? What does it actually mean? Well, the Psalms are full of reasons to, of decisions that David was making. He says in Psalm 25, "Show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. Lead me by the truth and teach me. For you are the God who saves me. All day long I put my hope in you." That's how we keep our eyes on Jesus. Continually making choices that no matter what these circumstances are around me, Father, thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you, you love me this morning. Thank you, if you love me, your will be done in my life. Thank you for direction. Thank you for what you've given me. Thank you for your love. This is just keeping Jesus at the center, keeping him in focus. Crying out to him at times of trouble, crying out to him in real tears. Thanking him for this day. This is the day that you have made, and I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. Some days that's easier to say than others. But on them days when it's others are the most important days. Because that is your decision. That is your call. I am keeping my eyes on you today. I don't feel like it. I had a silly thing happen to me the other week when I was going to the airport, and it was 5 o'clock in the morning, and both tyres blew on me when I hit a pothole near Teddington Island. And it was 5 past 5 in the morning, and I was trying to ring company, and I knew I wasn't going to make my flight and everything was going to go wrong. And for that short bit of time, I felt really sorry for myself. I thought that I was about probably the worst unlucky person, and there was no one else with all the other challenges in life. But at that time, it felt like I was the one with them all. But I thank God that I just said, "Lord, thank you, you love me." And I remember saying it, "You love me, you love me." And I actually smiled. And the dynamic of that whole day changed by that single decision. And I'm not doing this to flag, please. And I'm trying to keep things in perspective and respect as well. But life's challenges will come, that we know. We've been given something. We've been given a way to allow peace to flow through us that goes beyond our mind and our understanding up here. Our heads will not work out this peace. But Lord, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for your great, great love. Thank you, Jesus, that you love me. Isaiah 26 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Okay. So I want to just finish off. I know it's only short. I've done quite a lot of presentations this week in Barcelona and stuff, talking about absolute rubbish that people nod to, and you know. But this for me, this is life. This is real. This is proper. This is something that, oh man, Father, I haven't got anything other than to say that when I was there this week, my mind was always kind of thinking of this Sunday and the challenges and everything that's going on in life. And the Lord just kept showing me these hands that were doing this. And I want to do something this morning, and it's standing out a little bit, like, okay, whether you want to, whether you don't, that's fine, because it's going to be done heads bowed, eyes closed. But what I want to do when I say this is I want you to fill these hands with some of those challenges that you've got, whether it's people's names, whether it's particular issues, challenges, whether it's health related, whether it's personal, whatever that might be. And I want us to let go. However we do it, just hands down our sides, just like this. But I want us to let go. As if this is the boat. And I can't make that step. I can't do that. But I'm clinging on, I'm holding on to these things because I think that I need to resolve. I think that I need to lead. I think I need a decision. And the Lord's saying, how can his will be done in the boat? Just let go. Just let go. And allow the Lord to be able to be in operation in each one of these people's lives. You so dearly love, and he does even more. Allow him to be able to heal you. Allow him to be able to show you and direct you. Allow him to be your provider, your provision. Allow him to be whatever your needs are this morning. You will never be loved more than you are right now. And he longs for you to let him in on those areas and those situations and those challenges. He longs for that this morning. So I'm just going to ask for everybody just to bow their heads just for a short time until I say otherwise. I'm just going to pray, and I just want everyone that want to do this, that feel to do this, just to clench their fists with those challenges right now as we pray. Father, your love is the very root of our life. Your love enables us to be able to love. Your love enables us to be able to forgive. But knowing your love this morning is so key. Knowing that you want a relationship beyond the relationship where we are today. Lord, you just desire for us to be able to seek you in everything we do. You long, Father, for us to have faith in God. Faith in you. Faith that you will do what you say you do. Faith that you are a healing God. Faith that you are a providing God. Faith that you're a protector. Lord, each of these challenges and these things that we have in our hands, as small or as big as they may be, you want us to release them. You want us to empower you to be able to do your will. So Lord, as we just release now in Jesus' name, just release those hands in praise and worship. These hands, these palms demonstrate exactly what you have done for us. And Lord, I speak a peace that passes all understanding to engulf these people in Jesus' name. Your peace and your love, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Can you just play that song, that last song that we got, please?